Okay, open your Bibles to Ephesians. We're going to turn to Ephesians here, chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I wanted to do a little disclaimer. It was brought to my attention from last week that we said a pastor was going to give all the kids bunnies to take home. Well, he said it. We heard him say it, but he didn't do it. So he was joking. So I just wanted to let the people know, I'm not trying to spin that. That was what we heard, but he didn't do it. So I'm thank God it was a joke. And but anyway, I don't like to say anything that's... And today, what was really on my heart from all week was that we can't control so much what's going on in there, but we can control our heart. And we have to deal with anger, probably more than we've ever had to deal with anger. For people making decisions, not like we'd make them, people out in the streets making choices we wouldn't make, just the whole day and the hour we live, especially for our state, and I know other cities around, there was a lot of protesting and a lot of anxiety, not knowing how far this would go, or knowing when it will be happening again. And they kind of let us know that this is not over, and they want to reform everything. And part of this, I do know that we know because we've studied some of these agendas, and they have to come in and do agendas. So we shouldn't be surprised, but on the other hand, it's shocking to see good being called evil and evil being called good, and the lawlessness that's here. So we have to guard our heart, and that's the main thing I want to talk about tonight is our heart. But before we start, a nice little old gentleman of 75 got a good report from his doctor after his medical examination. And the doctor asked him, how did you keep in such good shape for being, you know, this age, 75? Well, sir, he explained, when I got married about 50 years ago, my wife and I made an agreement. If I lost my temper, she would stay silent. And if she lost her temper, I would leave the house and go for a stroll. I credit my good health to the well-known advantages of walking. So we're going to talk about anger because there's a lot of anger. And the Bible says we can be angry, but we're not to sin. We're being invited to be angry at the news. When I met Tim, I thought it was so funny. He talked to the news, you know. And I found myself talking to these people. I was like, stop lying. Because the media is 24/7. It's getting so negative and it's hard to watch. And you just, yeah, we're it's happy anniversary. And I guess I'm turning more like you every day. But I wanted to share this. Ephesians 4, you got to keep it light, you know. Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And this is what we've come out of, a lot of movements. We've come out of thinking it was God. We were so hungry, and we found out it was a wind of doctrine. So we've come back to know what the Bible says. And I just want to encourage everyone out there, you're finding, and I'm getting these emails and letters, that your churches are preaching wrong doctrines. And is it okay to leave? Sometimes you have to leave. And sometimes you have to get together with friends of like mind and just read your Bible or watch a YouTube you can agree on. And this is going to be a day of division. It's going to be a struggle for you to keep your relationships because the devil wants us divided in this hour. Divide and conquer. And you have to decide in your heart, regardless, this is family too. Yeah. What decisions people make, we're not going to detach and break rank and stop loving people and triangulate and talk about them behind their backs. And I hate that division. And the division is here. So what are we going to do? We have to endure as a soldier. We have to learn how to handle when people disagree with us, when we disagree with them. We're coming into conflict like we've never seen conflict. How will we respond? How will you respond? And the main thing is we can't control out there, but we can control in here with the Lord and the help of the Holy Spirit to keep our hearts right. Because we're going to have a lot of invitations, especially in the days coming ahead, to be angry. So we want to talk about this. In verse 22, well, you start in this and you hate to, you know, say don't read this because it's all so good. But we're not to walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. We're seeing a lot of people ruled by emotions right now, and they're doing things out of emotion. They're doing things out of hate. They're doing things out of radicalness. They want things to change, but they have no idea they're being pawns in the game. That's a message that I preached a while back. We don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of our minds. Verse 19, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Do you know what lasciviousness is? It's the expressions of lust, the lust of power, the lust of sexual things. It's that spirit of unrestrained sexual behavior, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. And then verse 21, where's the truth? The truth is in Jesus. Well, they're going to tell you today it's in everything else, but we know that our truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. What is that? That's the way we react. It's the way we talk. We're going to talk about, we've come from angry families, we've come from strange relationships, and we have to put off, we have to get on, put on Christ, put him on, and invite him into your daily life. Like, think about him, and I guess that's, to me, it's walking in the fear of the Lord. People don't know how to do that, but it's just to be aware that he's watching you all the time. So what you're saying, you wouldn't say if you knew he was watching you. Right? So just be aware that he's watching you, or you're doing stuff in secret you shouldn't be doing. Be aware he's watching you. So that's the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. And getting rid of this old conversation, the way you used to do things, the way you used to talk. Your conversations have to change. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying. Speak, and remember, the devil is the father of lies. We expect that in the world. We expect the father of lies to lie, right? The problem is we didn't think they would. But the devil is a liar. And he's also, the two characteristics, he's a liar and he's a murderer. From the beginning, he's been a liar and a murderer, right? So think it not strange. Wherefore, putting away lying, every man speak truth with his neighbor, for you are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. How are we angry and we don't sin? We're going to talk about that. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We all get many angry invitations every day. An invitation is anything we could use as an excuse for getting mad. And angry people, people that walk in anger all the time, accept all their invitations. We have to say no to some of these invitations. No, I'm not going to get mad. No, I'm going to think this through, and I'm not just going to lose self-control. Anger is a signal. It's not a solution. You need to know, and I need to know, what makes me angry? I know what makes me angry. Do you know what makes you angry? It makes me angry when people try to control me, because I've come out of some abusive control. And when people try to control me and I feel that spirit, something inside of me rises up because you've crossed a boundary. Yeah. I don't know what makes you angry. If your dad yells at you or someone yells at you, and then your tone now is yelling, because that's what you learned in your family. So now what do you have to do? Unlearn it. Your dad's no longer with you. So now we have to unlearn. It's not easy. It's hard work to learn new habits. And they're not it's not fun to learn. It's not fun to unlearn and to even admit, okay, this makes me mad. But we all struggle with things that make us mad. In church, you'd never know it. Everyone acts like they're just so wonderful. But God created us to feel anger, and not to live there, but it should be a signal. The anger tells you there's a problem. Somebody's crossed a boundary. Somebody forgot me. Somebody's, you know, whatever it might be, it's a signal. It's not a license to lose control. It's like some people golf and they just use that one, whatever they call those. Yeah, that's the word. Thanks. They use one club all the time, and they don't realize there's a putter, and there's all these other clubs they could use. I'm not a golfer, as you can tell. But they've just learned to just use one, and that's the way angry people are. They just use that one thing, that one emotion, that, you know, I'm going to intimidate and bulldoze you down. And that was the world. Now we have to learn Christ and put on Christ. So anger needs to be understood. Some people have never been able to admit, I'm angry about this. Never been able to process emotions. Our parents should have helped us process emotions. If you have a mother, she would sit down and explain to you, rather than rebuke you for feeling fear, she would say, you work through your emotions. But many of us didn't have that luxury of having a mother that took the time to help us out. But anger needs to be understood, admitted, and then we have to learn how to keep it under control. We need to learn how to manage and communicate it correctly. The world just blasts you, doesn't it? I've just seen a lot of people this last week just blasting things, what they're angry about, and you know, this and that and the other thing, and it's just like, wow. I was talking to my granddaughter, and she's like, what are they doing? I said, those were kids that were not spanked when they were little. They are not acting right now. Even someone that's 8 years old understands this is wrong behavior, you know? You're never more vulnerable to evil than when you're angry. You're at that spot. What are you going to do? Put a D in front of anger, and what do you have? Danger. We see a lot of angry people right now. This one person I was reading about killed his best friend, and they said, why, when he was in jail, and they came and talked to him, and he said, well, I ran out of words. So they were fighting, and he just killed him. How sad. People are losing it. Danger, you can make mistakes, injuries, more pain. When you say things out of anger, you can't erase those words. How many times we've said things that we wish we wouldn't have said it? Common sense works better at low temperatures. Anger is like a red light on the dashboard of your car. There's a signal. Something's wrong. Why am I feeling this? And the other extreme is people push down that red light and you become a doormat. And I think it's really sad when you see husbands and wives and they don't have the freedom to talk in front of the other one. They're afraid. It's like, so then what happens? They become unhealthy and they squish all that anger. And guess what? One day you're going to have a volcano because you haven't communicated correctly at the right time. So anger is like a red light on the dashboard of your car, a warning light. It's a warning. Something is wrong and it needs your attention. And if you don't deal with it, eventually you're going to have to deal with something. Because conflict is unfortunately part of life. And we all struggle. You never get to the point you're so spiritual you aren't going to struggle with anger. It's part of life. Conflict is part of life. Anger is a demand. It may be a demand that you hear me, stop ignoring me, rejecting me, recognize my worth, respect me, respect my opinion, right? Or let go of my arm, don't talk to me like that, right? These are all little warnings. It's a demand that something inside of us says, I'm not being treated right. And you have to teach people what you will and will not tolerate, really, because some people just roll right over you. Yeah. Anger is a strong feeling of displeasure as a result of a real or imaginary threat. Put downs, frustration, injustice to yourself or others who are important. It's all a battle, and none of us are going to escape. So with it, we have to have a pure heart and know how to deal with these situations as they come up with family members. Your children aren't acting like you raised them to be. Your dad is doing things you never thought he'd do and say. I mean, families right now are being ripped apart. The devil wants division. He wants division in the United States. He wants to divide and conquer it. But as Christians, we have to make the decision. We're not going to break rank. We're not going to attack each other. We are not going to go behind each other's back and tell stuff that someone else comes and it really is. It's very hurtful when people triangulate. It takes time to get over. And we've all done it at certain times. So we have to learn, we got to get better, right? We're struggling. We all have to learn how to do better. So we have to track down these demands so I can stick to them. Okay, this makes me angry. Maybe your kids always want you to babysit, but they're never on time. They're always late. Things happen, and so all of a sudden you start realizing they're not respecting my boundaries. So then sometimes you have things that really make you angry, but they shouldn't. Why is that making you angry? It really shouldn't. So you have some things you need to say, that isn't really a demand. That's not important. Maybe it's just something that I brought along from my past. Or, you know, I hate all men because I had a bad one. And then there's a nice guy in your life and now you're treating him bad because of the other guy you didn't forgive. So there's a lot of baggage with anger. So we have to negotiate the ones that really matter. This is important to me. This one, I can cancel. I guess that's not going to be a big deal. When you get married, you understand you don't always get your way. So there's some things you have to say, I'm not going to fight over that. Pick your battles, right? Well, it's the same things with friendships and the same thing with family. We have to pick our battles now. People are going to disagree with you. You're going to have your own opinions. They have theirs. So does that mean you're never going to talk to your brother again? Does that mean you're never, are you going to be baby-like, childish? And this is what's happening now. People are disconnecting from each other. God's design for anger is to caution us, not to let anger control us. So when that light goes on, we have to pray and invite God into it. Instead of just working it out on our own, screaming, saying whatever you want, light yourself on fire, explode, rant and rave, give unwanted advice, and blow your stack. That's what I call the blow-ups. Or just as bad are the clam-ups. I've taught on this for years. The clam-ups, they withdraw into self-pity. And I have a problem more, I think, with clam-ups because you think everything's fine. You don't know you crossed a boundary. You have no idea that they're upset. And then one day you just get blasted. And you had no clue that even upset them. You didn't know they didn't like wild rice soup. You made it for years. And I hate that soup. But, you know, we all struggle. Maybe one side or the other or right down the middle. Withdrawing into self-pity, you shut down communication. You give the silent treatment. I mean, there's sometimes you do need to back up and not talk and say bad things, but people that go on and on for weeks with the silent treatment stuff, you have a problem. They pout. And then they're not honest. Is there anything wrong? Oh, nothing's wrong. Yeah. Are you bothered by? No, I'm fine. Then there's people that they live angry. They've never grown past that one golf club. It's just like, that's it. That's how I'm going to be. And the Bible talks about not to associate with angry people, right? Because then that starts coming off on you. But someone who lives angry is immature. They've never grown into adulthood. They still pout, blow their stack. It's the only emotion she knows. It's the only emotion he knows. It's a habit. So what do we have to do? We have to renew our minds. We have to renew our minds. Think about what we're saying. How are we acting? A reaction from childhood to survive. Well, you're not a child and you're not in survival mode. So now you have to change the way you think and you act. Now that you're a Christian, you're a new man in Christ, you're supposed to put him on. Would he act that way? Bulldoze through conflicts. Now you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to learn how to understand people. Not everybody thinks like we think. And you can't control people. Not everybody can. I've learned more and more people that want to control outcomes. They're having trouble in their own life and they want to control you and tell you what to do. You can't control another person. You have to pray for them, release them to God. And if you really pray for people, you love them, you don't attack them. So you have to learn understanding. You have to learn empathy. Some people don't know how to be empathetic, and other people are too empathetic. You're supposed to put yourself in another person's shoes, and some people live in their shoes. So you got to pull back and say, okay, now I understand their point of view, I understand them, but how do I really feel? Because empathetic people can lose themselves, especially if they're wrong, strong personalities. They're always taking the side of someone else, and they don't know who they are. They don't know what makes them tick, because they're always pleasing everyone. We have to learn to compromise. especially in this day that we live. We are not all going to get our way. For instance, someone says, I like it black and white. Someone else, don't preach on this. I've never, ever been so discouraged in this hour not to preach anymore because everybody wants something different. Don't tell me this. You tell me this. I'm like, I don't even know what to preach anymore because people, don't stop. Well, you need to be, everybody has their advice. It's kind of like a cook, Rick, you know. It's like, don't cook like this, cook like that. So what do? We have to do what God tells us to do.
Amen.
But we got to compromise. There's times in our life where your husband wants to go somewhere and you don't, so you compromise. Or you cooperate.
He doesn't go.
And the other thing is submit to one another. It's not this lordship of we all submit to this guy and he gets to run everything. We submit to one another.
Amen.
That's the joy of, I love team. I love teamwork. I've always liked other people's opinions. You can't be led by them, but it's good to hear. Submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And sometimes, you know, you want to do something purple, they want to do it blue. It's okay. Who cares? Some things just don't matter. The trivial things, you know, people have split over the carpet and all this other stupid stuff throughout history. And who cares, really? I mean, really, who cares? So we got to make sure our heart's right. And it's a daily affair. Because when you turn on the TV, I try to find out what's going on, that I have to know what's going on, but I don't sit and... people we know, they keep that thing on 24/7. They just watch it. And they're just being totally lied to. They're being brainwashed. You got to think, and you got to let the Holy Spirit talk to you, so you need time away. James 1:19 says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. What do? We're swift to be angry. We're swift to speak and really slow to hear. So what do we have to do? Lord, help me listen. And people are always trying to answer the other person before they're done. Have you know how people are so intense these days? It's like, well, I'm going to finish. And we all just kind of get a little hyper. This is a hyper day, isn't it? I mean, it's like... So if you just are going off and you're just yelling at everybody, you're telling everybody off in the store, anger is a form of public littering. We don't really want to hear that. You seeing these people fighting out in daylight? They're fighting over stuff. It's like, wow, it's the wrong place and it's the wrong time. You have an issue. This is not where you deal with it. You don't deal with it with the checkout person. It's just their job. Angry people have Velcro minds. Everything sticks. Every disappointment, every hurt and rejection. Now it's a habit. And we all have problems with rejection. We all have issues of abandonment, especially pastors. I feel bad for them because people come and go. It's hard to be secure anywhere in the world nowadays with people are so fickle. They're not committed like they used to be, like our parents' churches. They were committed. We're just seeing such a difference in the whole church world. And pastors think they got to give people what they want. Well, guess what? People don't know what they want. They want to be entertained. That's not what they need. It's like kids want candy. Candy's not good for them. They need to have their fruits and vegetables. Don't ask them what they want. They want cake. They want ice cream. Spiritual children are the same way. Angry people come from angry families. They threaten, they insult, they put down. That was normal. To them, that's to be expected. Well, you know, we're having a family reunion. Fred will be there and blah, 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 and she'll be there. And then the first thing they say, well, you sure are fat. You've gained a lot of weight. Some families are so insultive. So... We don't want to yell. This is the other thing I've learned, too, from my granddaughter. She likes calm. I want the calm voice. And don't we all want the calm voice? Because when you speak calmly, it enters people's hearts. When you're not calm and you yell, we have to defend ourselves and put up a wall. And you don't even know why. It's because that's the way you grew up, right? So you get one person that grows up in this family, another one in this one, and then you say, we're attracted to each other. Then you get married and you attack each other because your family roots are so different and the way you handle conflict and the way you spend money is totally different. So you have to compromise and work it out. Everyone have fun.
Amen.
I'm closing here now, pretty close. Conflict, it's a part of life. And today, the day we live, Matthew 24, the lawlessness, the offendedness, brother against brother, sister against sister, kingdom against kingdom, we have to learn to do better with conflict. We really do. Because otherwise we're going to be angry all the time. You're going to be angry because you can't control mom. You can't control dad. You can't control your brother. You can't control the outcome of what this person does. Or even how they act. You're in control of you. But you can't tell other people how to live, especially in this day because they're making everything black and white. You have to pick a side. They want you to pick a side. Have you noticed that? We have a choice how we're going to handle it. God's given us a will. How we handle it, you can angrily attack the person and put them down, or you can want to withdraw. I'm just going to withdraw and get resentful. Well, they're both wrong. Got to come into the middle of the balance. In 2 Kings 5:10, we see that Naaman, had leprosy and he wanted to be healed. And he went to see in verse 10, and he went to Elijah, sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee. Verse 11, Naaman was wroth. He was wroth and he went his way and he was furious. He said, I expected something different. I expected the man of God to heal me. But verse 13, I love verse 13. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? He was humble enough to listen to his servant and realize, wow, I had a dashed expectation. We get angry when we expect something and it doesn't happen, right? We expect it to be healed. We expected this to happen. We expected this man of God to come out here and just say, you're the great Naaman. You're the great soldier. You're this and you're that. He didn't. He goes, go wash in a dirty old river. Well, that was insulting. Some of us were living lives we didn't think we'd have to live. We didn't think we'd see this racial upheaval. 30 years of my life, I've always been in the middle of reconciling races. I love all the races. And to see this is it's really heartbreaking for me personally because of all the work we've done to unite people, especially in this city, to walk in love and to see these hate groups starting to show up. And it's affecting everybody in our areas. So Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. How do you stay under control? With the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this in our own strength. We're all flesh pots. We need to get saved. Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. When you're angry, you're going to say things you don't mean. We need to invite God into the situation. Train ourselves to respond in the fear of the Lord. Because we can't erase words. You can't get them back. Those hurt, meaningful words. And that's what anger is. You want to inflict pain. You want to inflict an injury. You want them to suffer. And that's when we get into sin. Because vengeance is the Lord's. Right? Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. And we know that without walls, a city was left open to the enemy. When we don't have self-control, we're open to the enemy. We're open to every evil work. We're open to jealousy and envy and strife and division. We need to pray to stay within reasonable bounds. What does that mean? Our tone, our words. People respond to you by how you treat them. Even a dog's going to run away if you kick him all the time, right? So we have to learn that people are precious. All these things are going to come and go, but our relationships should be very, in these end times, we have to learn how to walk together even though we disagree, right? We're soldiers in the army of the Lord, and we're supposed to know how to endure hardness, but we've been so soft because we haven't been taught how to endure. We just were taught to be prosperous, wealthy, right? Dream a dream and you're going to have it, and you command these angels to come and go. We haven't taught how to live in reality. And that's why people want to put these goggles on and live in the future and live in these games. And no, come out of there and face reality. Face your brother, face your sister, face, talk. All these technology things are totally trying to get us away from people. Closing two, we need to learn to ask. We don't demand. We don't demand that people change. We don't demand this. We have to learn to ask. There's a difference when you ask somebody than when you tell them what to do. Accept the differences. We're going to have to learn to accept differences in our families. It's happening whether you like it or not. Accept differences, lower expectations. We all thought we were going to be doing this as a family and this as a family. Now we see people are fighting. Because they believe this. And there's such controlled oppositions in both sides. They want you to be divided against people. Well, devil, we see that trick and we're not buying it. We're not going to take the bait, right? We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. So we have to stop trying to control people. God never created you to control another person. They have a free will. The devil wants to force and control people. God never forces you. He'll convict you. He wants us to repent, but he doesn't control. So let others have responsibility for their lives while you take responsibility for yours. Stay in your own lane. Amen? Run your race. So Father, we thank you. This is a reality check for all of us. We're all facing situations that make us unhappy. We're facing lawless times, hurtful people, hurt people, hurt people. There's laws that are being changed. Things are happening. We can't control what's going on in the world. We're aware of it. We need to be aware of it. But the main thing is we need to make sure our heart, that we take time to make sure our heart is right towards you and towards other people. So, Father, we invite you in all of our relationships. We ask for help. Help us, Lord, to endure hardness against people that disappoint us, the people that hurt us. Help us to let us know when anger needs to be dealt with, when we're just running from it, and sometimes we need to confront. But help us have a good spirit when we confront, that it doesn't wound and harm people, that we treat people the way we would like them to treat us, how we would like them to confront us, with gentleness, which is a strong spirit, fruit of the Spirit. And all these things, we give you praise. And Lord, I pray for all the people on YouTube. I pray for them to be bold, to be strong in these times. We thank you, Lord, you're with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. So we promise to give you all the glory. Everyone said?
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main web page at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing, so we depend.